and this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Alan's List.
Yes, yeah, with Greg Carrick here, standing in for Alan today, and Alan will be back next week to take back the chair on his Community Connection Show. But for this hour, we have our local MP, Cindy McLeish, in the studio, and very busy lady, so thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Cindy. Lots of things happening, and I noticed you saw the new, we've got new tenants moving in next door, so things are starting to move again as far as, you know, COVID restrictions sort of fall away and then businesses get back on their feet and...
Well, we've still got that on and off again, and there's still a lot of uncertainty out there about how much you do and don't do at the minute. You know, a friend of mine said the other day that he needed a week off, you know, work. They'd been really quite busy over the period, and thought about going to New South Wales and Queensland, but then thought, if there's a problem, the border's locked, you know. So he's at Lakes Entrance. I should have said, because he lives in Wangaratta, I should have said you should go to Warburton, somewhere down in the Upper Yarra, which is looking particularly good at this time of year.
It is, it is. And great weather for great attractions out here in the valley. And see the Redwood Forest is open again for people to come and enjoy.
Yes, and I noticed also on the highway, I think before Woori actually, it says no toilets at Redwood. There's a big flashing sign, so let everybody know that that's the case, which is a good thing, because you just, you need people to make plans, because you see too many places get ruined by people using,
and a place like the Redwood Forest, it's just boomed over the last year and a half, from a well-known secret to everybody in Australia wants to turn up there every weekend.
A well-known secret, yes. A well-known locally. Yeah. And now, you know, people get married there and all sorts of things. And, you know, it's been an interesting collaboration, because the road leading into it is a council road.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you head into parks.
Yeah.
So you've got to have, you know, the state government and a local council working together on that. And, you know, it's still really busy. We've still had, you know, cars banked up on the highway and... goodness knows what, but it's actually not as big a mess in there. But then, you know, a lot of people think the fact that they've cemented it or tarred it, you know, really kind of ruined it. And I guess I was expecting that it'd be gravelled and kind of keeping a little bit more in the natural look. But it is what it is at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, and we have to make the most of it, because Warburton is a very busy place. It's a very attractive place for tourists to go every weekend. So the place gets absolutely packed.
And like, you know, it's that proximity to Melbourne. And if you're close to Melbourne, because people don't, although people do stay the night, but a lot of people can scoot up for a day. But, you know, there's a lot of people head to the caravan park. It's particularly popular. And now that they've got the splash park, which really rivals the one down at Seville. Really rivals that. And, you know, now that that's so popular, there's a parking issue there too now. And a lot of people have said to me, you know, this is something. You know, you create some great things for people to come to.
And then
you have to be able to accommodate
other
people.
Problems there.
Yeah.
Infrastructure is very, very important. So, anyway, let's get back to what you've been up to, Cindy. And being a local member, you have to deal with individuals, community groups, businesses, government. Everybody's sort of wanting a piece of you all the time.
So yeah, all the time. Well, there's a few things that I've been up to, actually. And I'm going to start with today. Yeah. So today's been a bit of a school's day for me. I've just come from Woori Primary. Earlier, I was talking to the grade threes and fours at Wesburn, and they were doing their civics and citizenship component. And, you know, they were early into it. We're at the start of the year, and so they were just learning that there's three levels of government. But we were actually talking about the Redwood Forest, because we were talking about who has responsibilities. And kids don't always understand this. And I started the day at St Andrews Primary School.
Okay.
So I've had three schools already today.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit different from my electorate, from many others, because I've got 50 schools in my electorate. Yes. In the city, they're lucky to have four. So, yeah, there's a lot to get around to, and it's important because, you know, we want all the schools to have good facilities.
Mm.
But it's also, you know, the schools do have a role, along with the parents, in churning out good citizens.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want kids to understand. And, you know, we talked about the citizenship with little kids about, you know, the laws and what that means, like smoking. You know, they've changed the smoking laws over the years. And the kids kind of see that you've got to have it something that they can get. And we talked about, you know, theft, breaking and entering. And one of the kids said, well, what about Santa Claus? I said, well, maybe.
He's notorious.
He's notorious. And, I mean, it was really quite cute because she was really quite thoughtful. And I said, well, usually you invite Santa in because you've got, you know, a little drink or a biscuit there for him to eat. So you're kind of wanting them to come. And they all kind of looked at each other and, yeah, that's right.
He's a guest.
Yeah. He's a guest. We're happy for Santa to come. But he's not breaking the law by breaking and entering. But, you know, they started to have good conversations about that. And it's important that they do get to have an understanding of levels of government and what you can actually do. And if anyone from the Shire is listening, let me tell you, the kids in grade 3 and 4 at Wesburn have got a long list of projects that they want done.
Well, that's a good thing because, you know, they get thinking and then they get involved and then they get fired up. And
Yes, including they wanted a skate park at Mackenzie King, the playground there. And one kid said, well, they only just need to take out one tree.
And so he's already been down there and planned everything.
Sussed it out, and I said, I hope that tree, is that a big shady tree that's going to shade everything? And they're all kind of like, oh, maybe. So he'll probably go back and have another look. But, you know, it was really good, and the schools are doing a great job through that citizenship and civics one to get them understanding how things get fixed and improved or, you know, good ideas and things like that. So I'm talking to the grade 5s and 6s at Wesburn next week.
Yeah. And then that system too with the schools, they have systems in place where the students who are more interested in that sort of thing get the chance to do something. They have captains and class captains and year captains and all this sort of thing. So the kids get to take on a bit of responsibility, have a bit of a role and see what sort of things they can actually action in the school.
Yeah, and they get to learn how to speak in front of others.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, Greg, but when I was at school, you know, there were no opportunities to be involved in assemblies. You know, the principal or the teacher stood out the front and did it. The kids had no involvement. And now, you know, kids are getting much more confident and they have all sorts of different leadership roles. Mm. So it gives a lot of kids a lot of opportunities, you know. The schools are a bit bigger, some of them, you know, you get lots to do.
I think the education system and the opportunities available are better, much better now than what we went through.
Yes, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to have a track and then we'll get back to Cindy. This is Wild Ones.
She don't care, we like almost there, the right vibe. Ready to get live, ain't no surprise. Take me so high, jumping those dives, surfing the crowd. Ooh, said I gotta be the man, I'm the head of my band. Mic check, 1, 2. Shut them down in the club where the Playboy does. So they all get loose, out the bottle. We all get fit in again tomorrow. Gotta break rules, cause that's the motto. Club shut down, 100 supermodels.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. If I took you home and be a woman, show me how you do. I wanna shut down the cloud with you. Hey, I heard you like the wild ones,
sparklers, so cool. No doubt by the end of the night, got their clothes coming off, then I make that move. Somehow, some way, gotta raise the roof, roof. All black shades when the sun come through. Uh-oh, it's on like everything goes. Wild life, baby, to the freak it shows. What happens to that body is a private show. Stays right here, private show. I like a mundane, don't talk about high pain. Tolerance bottoms up when it's champagne. My life come on humming, then we hit Spain. Do we beat it with the deal, we get insane.
Yes, Wild Ones, this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1. It is 19 past one, and speaking of Wild Ones, we'll get to this, Cindy. There's some very interesting stuff you've been up to. But before we get to that, you had more stuff to say about some students. They were learning the ins and outs of voting.
That's right. And this was at St Andrews, and they had a new teacher there, and when they did their class captains, and that's what all schools are doing at the moment. Mm. You know, we're early into returning, and they've got to settle the kids, and they had that lockdown, yep. And the kids all, you know, got disrupted and had to go off. And so they're getting into that. But the teacher actually conducted a full-blown election to the point where he had voting booths. He'd set up little voting booths in the classroom, and all of the kids that were going for the different positions all had to speak to the class. And they'd worked with the teachers at the side, you know, beforehand, finessing their speech and what they wanted to say and how to say it. And, that in itself was a really good experience for kids to actually write down what they're going to say and then to deliver it. And then they did the whole, you know, they had the card written out so that they do that. Yep. And then they had the little voting thing, voting booth. And one of the things I think that's really important for kids to start to understand that is you see so many adults, young adults, turn 18, and depending when their birthday is, you know, then next week or in a month later they've got to vote. And they go, oh, a council election, well, what do I do here?
Yeah.
How do I vote? What does it mean? And I don't know that we've done a good enough job explaining it to people so far.
And it is important in Australia because it's compulsory.
That's why it's really important in Australia. You know, otherwise you could be quite lazy and not bother to have your input. But, you know, even if you're not so bothered, you still get to have your input and you can't complain. And when we have, you know, minority governments and things like that, well, this is what the people voted for and we've got to suck it up and live with it. You know, it might be difficult, but everybody has had a say and, you know, you might not have always voted for whoever's in power, but that's okay, you know. But we have the state and federal and council elections. So, and they come around, you know, even though state and local government are four yearly, you know, that's still like one this year and one next year, and then you've got the federal every 3 years or so. And when you've got, you know, a long, complicated Senate ticket, you know, it's just long as your arm, probably longer actually than my arm. And do you feel above the line or below the line? And people don't understand this. And I don't know that we do a good enough job for kids in school. And it really is about that year 10 that they...
Yeah, start to think, and they're more issues-based. So they start to think of, you know, what issues is this candidate going to bring to the table, and where does this candidate stand? And
that's right. And, you know, a lot of people don't read the material that comes out, or don't read the information on the individual candidates. It's becoming more and more costly for people to send it out, you know, so it's usually available online. But that doesn't mean people look at it either. So encouraging kids to take an interest and an effort... you know, and even this morning with the little kids at Wesburn, you know, when we were talking about, I forget which, what they wanted, and I said, well, that's a little bit trickier, that one, because they thought it was state government, but I thought, well, that road, they thought it was local council. I thought, well, that actually, you know, depends who owns what bit of land. Yep. And, you know, I see people come to my office all the time, and it's about a footpath or a local road. The one just out here, right near the studio, actually got a bit of a run the other day. And they don't know who the problem is, and people don't care. Well, no, I'm raising it with you, and I think, well, it's a federal issue or it's a state issue.
I don't care. I pay my rates.
I don't care. I pay my rates. And well, you're not paying them to me, but, you know, and so you help facilitate that. But people don't know which level of government, and it's confusing.
Yeah.
And trying to help kids. Now, they'll probably forget, you know, in a couple of years, but... hearing that message and having a practice at it a few times, they kind of go...
Yeah. I think one thing that helps get your head around that is if you get involved in community groups, then community groups, by their nature, have to rely on different levels of government to operate with funding and permissions and that sort of thing. So you get to know through the community group work who your local rep is council, on state, on federal, and then... your eyes open up and you get more education of, oh, if I want X to happen, I have to go to, say, Tony Smith. If I want Y to happen, I have to go to Cindy. If I want A, B and C to happen, I have to go to my council, you know.
And that's right. And they said to me, you know, like, well, who should we, with talking about this big long list that we've got, who should we send it to? Do we send it to Jim Child? And I said, yes, you know, that's good to send it to Jim, but you also need to send it to the paid stuff, you know, that to Tammy. So you can send it to the CEO and make sure that she knows that, and Jim both know that this is what you want, and then they can try and work out whether things are possible or not possible. But, you know, the kids had some good ideas, and if you play it through and the council deliver on, you know, one of it might have been more rubbish bins even at Redwood. You had a long list. but... you know, it's good that they can see things get replaced. You know, we had one time up at King Lake, the signs, you know, the road signs had all been damaged, and, you know, and they're like, well, they need, it doesn't look good. We need to get that fixed. And how do we get that fixed? And really, you know, it's good that people get involved. And, you know, when you're a committee of management, you know, or even, you know, look at the neighbourhood house just a couple of doors down. You know, they have events all over the place and do things. And they've got to know who's who in the zoo. And you've got to start to have an understanding about them.
Yep. And the more understanding, the more you can actually get to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you can get things to happen. Things, you know, sometimes people don't even realise it's a problem until someone points it out.
Yeah.
Now, you know... many years ago, I was trying to get light cameras at Donabuang. The Visitor Information Centre at Warburton were very, very keen on them because they had to rely on the person who goes up with the coffee truck in the morning to say, road's closed, you know, they wanted to know if there was snow there. They wanted to know beforehand so they could be on the front foot. And I spoke to them, I raised it in Parliament with the Minister, and the Minister came and she spoke to me and she said, hey, that's a really good idea. That'd be great to make it happen. Well, it still hasn't happened and it's still a good idea. But when you've got somewhere like Donabuang, you've got parks involved and you've got Delp, or you've got Vic Roads involved and you've got Count. Everyone's got a little piece of the pie.
Yep.
It's a little bit tricky.
Yeah. And, when you have to deal with, even down in Mount Ev, the Sport and Recreation Reserve, there's local council, there's Melbourne Water, there's federal, there's state. Everybody's involved just to get one thing done.
Yeah. And I look at, you know, some of the walking tracks around here. Mm. You know, we've got the rail trail. And then, you know, Melbourne Water are trying to put in some walking tracks. And then with the Conservation Reserve, Delpa putting in walking tracks. And you've got to make sure they're talking to each other because, you know, there's a couple of people that have almost been surrounded their whole property by walking tracks. And they're not so happy about that.
Yeah. So get to know your local rep on all levels, dear listener, and then because they all know each other, so if you can get your head around who is responsible for what, then you can save yourself a load of headache as well.
Well, look, there's a really good example. Just next to the studio almost, there's a bit of an unnamed road. It's in front of the church. Parents park there for school and residents in those areas drive. And there's a units there, but it's not part of their body corporate. The council say it's not theirs, and Vic Road say it's not theirs. And so, yeah, someone comes to me and says, surely someone's got to own this. And there's a few little roads here and there that no one owns. And the reason it becomes important is when it's got to be fixed, no one wants to foot the bill.
Yeah.
And someone's got to pay for it to be fixed. And the council are like, not our road. Vic Road's not our road. And body corporate, not our road. So I wrote to the minister. Just recently and said, someone's got to own this road. Can you sort it out and find out who owns this road? And the minister came back and said, oh, no, council, you know, council's got to do something about it. And so council, anyway, while it was still in limbo, I think it was some council workers were fixing a bit of road elsewhere and they saw these great big potholes and they fixed it.
Right.
And it got fixed accidentally. It's still no one's taking, you know, ownership of it, but it got fixed. But at least when you start to bring those things to attention, it goes to the top of the list. Someone starts to look at it.
Yeah. The more noise.
Yeah, the more noise.
We will go to break and then we want to talk about the wild side of Cindy McLeish. His Gangster's Paradise. Quite apt, I think.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
Been spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise. Been spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise.
Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a low-down gangster, set tripping banker. And my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know.
Tell me why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me? Been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Been spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Our lives living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most of our lives living.
money and the power. Minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
And it is 26 minutes to 2, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And one of the movers and shakers of the valley is in our local MP, Cindy McLeish. We've been chatting all sorts of stuff. But, Cindy, you've been scoring big, I hear.
I don't know about scoring big, but no, I'm fairly proud of my latest efforts. I've probably once a year I do clay target shooting, but I went to the Upper Yarra Rifle Club and also the Lilydale Rifle Club. They're at Wesburn on the weekend, and I had a practice that I've never done. You know, you lie down on the ground and have a shot, and I got two smack through the middle.
You got two bullseyes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. From 500 yards, so they're still in yards, not metres.
Okay, yeah. That's a huge distance.
I know, I barely see down the end, and I was a bit worried because I had glasses on rather than, you know, contact, so it's a little bit tricky. But, you know, all you just got to do is line it up right, and there wasn't a lot of wind, so I didn't have to factor
deal
in
with that. So do you have a sighting scope? And
yes.
Then you,
Yeah, but, and, you know, it took me a little while to get my technique quite right because I was leaning, like when you fire a shotgun, you know, you've got your chin resting on the head, and here you don't, because every time I had my chin resting and then I'd move it and the sights would go, and I'd look again and think, oh, it's... So I took a while, though, you know, you've got a time limit, but I probably took a little bit too long, but the result was good.
You've obviously got a good technique.
And yeah, I quit while I was ahead. But
you're not going to the Olympics for us?
No, but so... The Lilydale, so there's two clubs out at the rifle range at Wesburn, at the back of Station Road. It's quite a distance. And, you know, they're looking for, like many other sporting groups, for funding, for facilities. And so they wanted me to have a look at what they've got.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I do often, you know, go and check out who's got what where and, you know, who's where things are at in trying to replace them.
Yeah.
And they've got a very old tin shed. Very old tin shed as their club rooms. And they've done it up inside, not too bad, but it really needs a lot of work. And so, you know, we as members of parliament often are asked for letters of support.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, when you've been there and you can see it and say, I've visited, and this is what it looks like, and I'm attesting to the fact that they really do need, you know, some upgraded facilities. So
I was. It helps too if the sporting club has people in it that are going an extra step or two above the level, and then they get involved in some state championships or something, and then there's more interest in directed then at that club, and they might have more of a chance of upgrading facilities and stuff.
That's right, you know, and the club's been there a long time, and if you think about it, most towns have had certainly a rifle range. You know, it was quite the sport in the day, and it still is. But you've got Rifle Range Road or Range Road or Butts Road, all of these roads and streets are basically because that's where they used to lead to, you know, and you've got obviously got to have a lot of safety things in place. But they had a very cool system that when you shoot, you've got a little iPad next to you and it's hooked up to the target. So it tells you where you've landed and where you've hit. And the scorer behind you also has it.
Yeah.
But at some of their other meets, like at Bendigo, they were saying that they've got people kind of hiding out up near the targets and they have to pull them down, mark on the thing and let them know where they've landed, you know, with their scoring. And I thought, wow, Wes Byrne, whew, they had all mod cons down there. Their club rooms weren't, but what they do was. And so, you know, there's one where you have the rifle on the ground and you know, look through the sights. And another one where you're holding it and you've got a sling to help you. And I thought, that looked like hard work.
Mm. Yeah, and you're standing up for that one?
No, they're both lying down, okay. But you've got a sling while you're doing it. In the photo I showed you before, that young girl had the sling. But, you know, when I was there, I met two members of the Victorian ladies state team.
Yeah.
Two schoolgirls, which was terrific, you know, and they're pretty... Got a good dead eye, let me tell you.
As good as you.
Well, Greg, one of them did say that can they have my first two shots on their score? So I was happy with it. But, you know, a couple of schoolgirls, one of them's dad. In fact, both of them, I think, got through their dads.
Mm.
But, you know, these are Olympic sports at what people, you know, are competing in. So I'm, you know, more than comfortable to go down there and have a shoot and see how they do and see the different techniques. I've had a couple of goes at pistol shooting here and there too. And that's, you know, that's requires you to hold your hands fairly steady.
Yep.
Maybe surgeons would be good at that.
As long as it doesn't involve writing.
As long as it doesn't involve writing. But, you know, just on that, if there are clubs and organisations that are looking for letters of support, I am always available to come and have a look at your facilities so that, you know, I can advocate on your part. And I do a lot of that. Last year was really tricky, though, with COVID, and everything got kind of put on hold. But the government has borrowed and is borrowing an enormous amount of money, enormous amount of money, $155 billion for the state government. So if there's shovel-ready projects out there, it's time for people to be putting their bid in.
Yeah, put your hand up.
Put your hand up. They can't all be done at the same time. But if you've got something that's ready to go, you know, contact my office or have a look online because there are grants there all the time that, you know, you really need to be getting in the queue. Because if you go in once and you're unsuccessful, at least you're in the system.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
Mm. Yeah, and I know you get around to a lot of different sporting and facilities and groups. So I think I've seen you bowling at Hillsville Lawn Bowls.
Yeah, I have done Hillsville Lawn Bowls. Yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen you getting a couple of bullseyes though at the rifle range. Yeah. Sure shot, Cindy.
Sure shot, Cindy. I'm not so good at lawn bowls, but you know that tends to be, you know, a really great sport.
Well, lawn bowls, it's all rigged against you. They've got biases and weights and you know. At least with a rifle, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. I had a couple of goes at Yarra Junction. I've bowled a couple down there as well.
Yeah.
But I knew someone who's, you know, great at golf. Really, really. She hit off two. But she said to me, the ball's not moving. It's easy. You're in control. And she said, but don't ask me to hit a tennis ball. But I don't know about that because you get a lot of cricketers that are really good at golf too. So it's a moving versus a steel ball.
So there you go. Get onto Cindy's Facebook page and see the picture of the bullseye. Yeah, fantastic. Very impressed.
Yeah.
So local groups, if you need something done, as Cindy said, if it's shovel ready, as they say, then put your hand up, contact Cindy and see how far you can get.
And you've got to remember federal government have grants out at points, so do the council, and a lot of projects are in conjunction with council. So if you've got council on your side, they might pay half, you might pay some, the grant might pay a little bit as well. And you can actually, you know, do some in kind. And I saw a few years ago at Yarra Glen, they made some indoor cricket nets out of one of the old show pavilions.
Yeah.
And my goodness, they turned $30,000 into a $100,000 project, and it was fabulous. Mm. Really, really fabulous. But they had, you know, things donated, and they had local tradies do some of the work as well. So that cheapens it. Mm. It makes the cost for you less. Now, if it's a big project, that's a bit different. But this was, you know, indoor cricket nets, and they did such a good job. In fact, it was one of the best that I've seen for a small amount of money to produce, like a, not a $1 million project, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that's what people with grant money looking for groups are looking for. They want a bit of collaboration. If you can get a bit of, if you can chip in some money and swing, say, the council to chip in something and some local businesses, then all of a sudden the doors open more for you to get grant money from state or federal, because they see that you're doing the hard work and are serious about it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, and community groups forget about this because they think, oh, we've got, you know, $2,000 in the kitty. How can we ever afford to, you know, $20,000 project or this or that? And you can do in kind. Mm. And as I said, with the Yarra Glen Cricket Club, and in fact, most projects, but people don't always think about it in the first instance, that if you can say, well, we'll do 50 hours of labour to clear all this, to help remove this or to pull this down or to do that. And that's, you know, you put an hourly rate on your labour and to say, okay, we've contributed $10,000 here. We've got somebody donating this and donating that, and there's another $5,000. So, hey, we've got $15,000 plus $5,000 in cash.
Yeah,
there's $20,000. And then the council might give you, or the government might give you, another $20,000. So there are ways that you can, you know, create your story. But sometimes people just go, oh, we've only got $2,000 in the bank. Yeah. We're never going to be able to get $20,000. But there are ways, and I can help you be creative.
Yeah.
And legitimately creative. I'm not saying, you know, we're shifty amongst this.
No. Yeah, in kind is very important.
Very important.
All right, this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1, here's Crazy Town with Butterfly.
Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, sexy, pretty little thing. This April bitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie, cause your loving gets me high. So to keep you by my side, there's nothing that I won't try. Butterflies in her eyes and her looks to kill. Time is passing, I'm asking, could this be real? Cause I can't sleep, I can't hold still. The only thing I really know is she got sex appeal. I can feel, too much is never enough. You always there to lift me up when these times get rough. I was lost, now I'm found, ever since you've been around. You're the woman that I want, so you're putting it down. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. I don't deserve you, and that's it. Some kind of hidden message to show me life is precious, and I guess it's true. But to tell the truth, I really never knew till I met you. See, I was lost and confused, twisted and used. I knew a better life existed, but thought that I missed it. My lifestyle, wow, I was living like a wild child. Trapped on a short leash, paroled on police files. So yo, what's happening now? I see the sun breaking down into dark clouds, and a vision of you standing out in the crowd. So come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Hey sugar mama, come and dance with me. The smartest thing you ever did was take a chance with me. Whatever tickles your fancy, girls, me and you like Sid and Nancy. So sexy, almost evil, talk about butterflies in my head. I used to think that happy endings were only in the books I read, but you made me feel alive when I was almost dead. You filled that empty space with the love I used to chase, and as far as I can see, it don't get better than this. So butterfly, here is a song, and it's sealed with a kiss and a thank you, miss. Come and dance with me. Come and dance with me. Come my lady, come
Come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake, you make me go crazy. Come and dance with me.
It is 11 to 2 o'clock. This is a Community Connection show. Having a chat with Cindy McLeish. Sure shot, Cindy.
I
like
it.
Who gets bullseyes at the rifle range. Fantastic stuff. But, yeah, lots of other things happening. And with COVID happening on and off all the time, there's ways community groups and businesses can become COVID safe. But they can be quite complex, is that right?
They can, Greg, because look, there's so many events that have been cancelled or postponed. You know, the Warburton Up and Running, I think, was supposed to be around about now. I can't remember if it was last weekend or next weekend. It would have been. And, you know, they've had to cancel that. Yep. And community groups are really kind of unsure about what they should do. Can they do it? How do they do it? And it's online. It tells you how to run a COVID-safe event. But you've got to get it ticked off.
Yeah.
Now, there can be loads and loads of paperwork. And I know with the racing clubs, for example, the Yay Racing Club were putting in and they were having 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to advertise, I think, and get people to pay online or something beforehand. But they had to fill out 17 pages. But they were able to use the picnic racing from Balnarring or somewhere else. Yeah. And they passed. And that went, they were all doing the same sort of thing, and that went through quite quickly. But the governments say that you need 4 to 6 weeks if you're a lower level event, a tier two or tier three. If you're a big event, like a music event or something like that, you need 8 to 10 weeks. But the problem is, so organisations are saying, right, you know, we've got an event in April and we put our stuff in January, and then they haven't heard.
Yeah.
And so they're really getting edgy about whether or not they can have their event. Sometimes they've got to get insurance, and the insurers like start paying the money, and they're like, well, what, we've got to pay a few thousand dollars and our event mightn't go ahead. We can't afford to lose.
No, that's right.
And we've had down at Warrnambool, you know, last weekend, I think the weekend before, they had the cycling, Melbourne to Warrnambool cycling was cancelled, and they had a big shooting event as well that brings loads of people. They were already there. All the shooters were there for the C Classic or whatever they call it. They come from all over Victoria and interstate. The caravans were all down there on the Friday when they announced that they're going to have the lockdown.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so then they're all stuck kind of in Warrnambool. But so, you know, you can run a COVID-safe event. You need to do all the paperwork. And that can be complex. But you've got to get it in a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because something like the man from Snowy River, for example, long weekend, they needed to get a liquor licence.
Mm.
The liquor licence wouldn't give them approval until they had their COVID-safe plan ticked off. Your COVID-safe plan's got to be ticked off by the Chief Health Officer and four ministers. So, you know, allow, you know, 2 days minimum sitting on each desk there, and that's 2 weeks. Yep. So you've got to allow time, but you can get them. Now, the Alexandra races is on Saturday.
Yeah.
They've sold, I think they were able to sell 300 tickets online. But there are changes happening on Friday, so they're expecting that maybe they'll be able to have 600 or 800 people. So then they're also going to be selling tickets at the gate.
Yeah.
So because they're changing all the time and we're not exactly sure, you know, I mean, it would be better if they said, listen, if we have 7 more days of no community things, there will be easing restrictions on Friday next week. So people know rather than, you know, I think we had like with the restaurants – people had thawed out food. You know, if you've thawed out seafood, you know, you buy it frozen, you've thawed out, you know, your oysters and your prawns and whatever, you can't refreeze them. So it goes to waste. So people wanting a bit of time in advance, but you can run a COVID safe event, but you know, you got to line your ducks up and get it done in plenty of time. Now also, by the time you know you're ready to run your event, maybe in May, the situation may have changed completely.
Yep, absolutely. Middle of winter. I know some people are just expecting another lockdown midwinter.
That's our flu season. Yeah.
And then you got to factor in all the vaccinations are rolling out. So that might help. But then flu season, that will be bad. You know, you don't know where things are going to happen.
And that uncertainty, you know, and I think it's terrible at this stage. You know, we're only the 24th of February. But Anzac Day March on the 25th of April, 2 months away, they've pulled the pin on it.
Yeah, I don't know how they can see that, because there's no way anybody can know how the situation will be in 2 months, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it will be a lot clearer now or whether we'll be in the middle of lockdown. So, yeah, pulling the pin on an event that far in advance, yeah, I think that was a bit...
And, you know, people have said... that, you know, with distancing and things like that, the guys who are marching, like, they're used to discipline.
Yep.
If you've been a soldier in the Navy or whatever, you're used to discipline. Mm. If they say keep 1.5 metres away...
They will.
They'll be 1.5 metres away. They won't be 120, they'll be, you know, 150.
I mean, I did last Anzac Day last year, you know, there was no official events on, so people stood out the end of their driveways and everything, and I went around and photographed some of that. And... okay, people want something.
People want something.
And they're willing to do that in the middle of a bad COVID year. But I think this year, yeah, it'd be good to have some sort of official march.
You know, and I look at, you know, Millgrove and Upper Yarra, Warburton, you know, they all have, you know, and the ones that do the dawn services.
Yep.
And dawn at Millgrove has really grown, particularly in the last few years. You know, you're out at the crack of, you know, dawn, you know, 5:30, you're all standing around ready for it, and yeah, you know, people are usually huddled.
Yeah,
but you know, you could mask. It's difficult to stay away, distance.
Mm.
But at the same time, you know, you can't control crowds. You're not going to have a try booking event, and even if it's free, to go to the Millgrove morning service. I think at this stage, you know, it's to cancel the big one in the city.
Mm.
You can section off, you can have a certain number of people in certain areas and things like that. You know, you could be getting that organised, even if you did it on, say, the changes in this weekend, if you did it on the restrictions then and planned it along that, and you might be able to do a bit more or maybe a bit less, but you've kind of got your base that you know that you've got some flexibility around. So I'm quite disappointed that that's what's...
Well, they are starting to look now at the shorter routes and things, so there might be a possibility that... sense prevails and we can actually have something.
Well, look, there's a lot of people, you know, and it's not just about the wars that have happened in the past. You know, there's been, well, you know, the people are still deployed overseas and young people. And a couple of years ago at Millgrove, there was a young woman who was in she was quite senior. I think she was in the Air Force, but she had grown up in the Upper Yarra, and she came back and spoke. And I thought, you know, having somebody like her as a role model was particularly... poignant. It was really quite touching to hear her. So no, and I'm a daughter of a digger, so certainly a big Anzac Day you know, fan, I guess, is
it? And they are very big community points in our communities out here in the valley. I could tell you, I could talk for another 2 hours about just Mount Evelyn, the things I've seen there on Anzac Day and November the 11th every year. It's very important to the community.
Mm. Yeah, look, you know, you get the school kids involved, and
the
number of the schools in the Upper Yarra come together and they do their own little service too. They've done it at the Upper Yarra RSL. I've been there previously, and, you know, you get a group of kids from a whole bunch of schools, and, you know, it's really good. And it teaches them about our history, you know, and war's not always a great thing to talk about, but it's part of our history. You know, and it's happened, and, you know, we've had the more recent acknowledgement of the role of the Aboriginals that played in the war, that went to war, that didn't get recognised for a ridiculous amount of time.
Yep.
You know, I think it was 2007, and Auntie Dot from Healesville got that sorted.
Mm.
But, you know, that's a long, long way from, you know, either of the world wars. So.
Yep. But watch this space. There might be something happening. So,
I think, did we have the other day 70 years of landing at Darwin? The bombing of Darwin? I think I saw something of that too, you know.
Probably was, yeah. So many things have happened that
yeah.
are good to remember and commemorate. This is Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thank you very much, Cindy, for
Pleasure.
Coming in again.
No problem, Greg.
And look forward to next month, and you'll have Alan back and everything will be good.
Everything was good today, Greg.